Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey-o.
Hello.
Hey-yo.
Hello. Hey. Hey. Welcome. Welcome again to what's this thing called? Really? Really with Tom and Dave?
Yes.
I'm Dave, and I'm just going to let you figure out the rest yourself, people.
Oh, okay. I'm Tom. Mm. Say there. It five times fast, and you will sound like a mentally challenged person. That's how my name works.
Or a toy drum. You'll sound like a child's toy drum.
That's true, too. Yeah. Did your mic get situated? You were playing with your mic just before we got on here.
Oh, I'm going to go and I will continue.
You're getting very kind of.
There we go.
Sultry voiced. You're sounding.
Yes. This is my FM voice.
Story time. Exactly.
It's 4 a.m. and we're going to play some ZZ Top.
Driving on the freeway. Just put me to sleep. Yeah. Just slowly veer off the road. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's and yourself?
I can't complain. Doing all right.
Yeah.
We're in week 652 of the writer's strike.
Yes.
So, yes, there's widespread pain in the community, which I guess is something.
Yeah. Well, it's character building.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of love for the studios and the writers right now, although the actors are, you know, we're all in the big pool of pain.
I was hearing that there was some movement with the WGA and the AMTPA.
Yes, the I won't give a proposal and no, I won't give a proposal section seems to be over. And they now seem to come to this incredibly unique and novel idea of getting into a room together to talk about their issues, which seems to have eluded them for a few months, but I don't, mm-hmm. you know, I'm pretty hopeful. I think there is, I'm biased on the writers, actors side, of course. I think there's some good leverage for negotiations at the moment. You know, there's a bill actually that was passed in the California Senate, House, Assembly, something that is sitting on Newsom's desk. And that would provide unemployment for striking workers, mm-hmm. which would be a fairly big deal and would affect labor negotiations. There's some political cases pro and con for that, I'm sure. But
it would definitely give a little more staying power
to
strikers.
It is a thumb on the scale. However, in this situation, it could be motivation for the studios to get their act together, and they are being some greedy fucks. So it's
yes, and also our friend Paul Hynek told me that California is looking to decriminalize all hallucinogens, and that'll help the strikers as well. I think that'll make the picket
the picketing a hell of a lot kind of easier.
Yeah, a little more. Yeah, because you can get enlightened while you're picketing.
I mean, you don't even know you're picketing, or you know, I mean, depending on what you're doing. You could even, I mean, if you go so far as do some, you know, DMT, you could even visit the entities.
Yes.
Perhaps,
and get them to negotiate.
Yeah, perhaps get them to intervene on behalf of, I would assume and hope, the writers and actors. Maybe they see themselves as management, though.
I got to think entities. In a colorful geometric world of, I got to assume they're definitely labor, on the side of labor.
I would hope so. I mean, there's different entities that people experience. There's this sort of mechanical elves. They could be,
They could
lean more conservative. Who knows? You know.
Well, in that case, I'll be switching over to the it's all demonic camp.
Yeah.
If that turns out to be the case.
How are your DMT travels, Dave? Last I checked, you still can't go on the journey.
I had a failure to launch. Yeah, the first time.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, when I did it, I had the same issues when I tried it with friend Jeremy and did like three hits.
Oh, Jesus.
And was still just going, well, nothing, except my throat is on fire. I feel like I've just, inhaled an entire campfire.
Oh my God. And that was the good shit, I assume. I assume Jeremy had long launched.
Yeah. And then with Paul, Jeremy stayed sober when we were doing it. Cause he didn't
just take to make
it.
Sure he didn't completely freak out.
But with Paul Hynek, we had a friend of his who was a shaman from, I guess, in Utah. So I think he came in from Utah. And he brought the stuff and he was monitoring everything to make sure everyone was okay. And that time I did like five hits that time.
Banana cakes.
And that's the thing. And that was one thing where I started to get a little bit of movement, and then it all just started receding. And as I say, for film buffs, I felt like the kid at the end of Shane, chasing after Shane, come back, Shane. Come back.
And it was because you didn't get the little nuclear rocket they talk about, like the like you're off into. No, you got a little bit of a.
Yeah,
it's like a small jump in the pool.
Yeah. So I need to try it again.
Yeah.
And then
I want to hear all about it.
And I definitely now. Yeah. At some point, ayahuasca, I want to try that.
Yeah, that's a lot more labor intensive, isn't it? Like a lot more throwing up and hours.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a multi-hour thing, like 12 hours or something. I don't know.
That sounds like a lot. Like, again, I would have to check my calendar. Like, something would start to really bug me. I'm missing something.
Yeah.
Or what do you think if you did it? What would your spirit animal be?
My spirit animal.
Don't you mean your guide?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my spirit animal will be like one of those three-legged dogs.
Oh. that you might run into in the jungle.
You see somebody walking their three-legged dog, and you go, "Oh, that's well. I guess that he's fine with it. I guess the dog doesn't know it's a three-legged dog.
No, it's hopping around. It's happy to have three.
Yeah. So I think that's my spirit animal.
Okay. Well, good. That shows a certain optimism. I approve.
An animal oblivious to its own impairment.
Mm-hmm. It's a good
and
pivot.
Every once in a while and every once in a while it just tips over. So
we had a cat. My friend Paul, a long time ago, had a cat named Molly. Mm-hmm. And Molly was had two legs and then two kind of stumpy back legs. And so for some reason, Paul was always going on trips, and this was the most high maintenance cat of medical conditions that I've ever encountered. And somehow I was getting stuck with Molly all the time. Paul's gone for 6 months, 3 months. He may have even still been in LA and was just trying to slowly like adopt her into my house. And Christina, my now wife, then just upstairs sort of, not roommate, dorm room person. She had a dog named Stella.
Mm-hmm.
Stella was a Maltese with all sorts of anxiety conditions. And every time she would see Molly, she, would just, and her dog would take over. Her anxieties would be set aside and she would go after Molly with, and Molly amazingly would just sort of get those front legs going and just man, she was rowing and was the fat, like as fast as a normal cat, which she would tuck those little back legs under and she'd be like flying down the hallway. Maybe I should have protected her better. Like she'd be in the sort of closet, whatever. She got some issues. She got some rashes this month. This is years ago. And I'm, you know, she was a sweet cat, but we took her to the vet and I've never seen, we had her in like one of those little containment things because she had this, she had all sorts of problems. I was furious with my friend Paul for, but I'm still mad at Paul. Paul, if you're listening, fuck you for sticking me with Molly and all her problems. But Molly had one of those cat crazy moments, like real cat crazy, like don't mess with, the vet was so scared. He was like, I can't take her out of that cage because when they're this crazy, you have to like break their jaw to get them out of the, out of the pen. And then so I was like, okay, so I'd gone all the way and I just brought her back to you know, to sort of live out her natural years. So that's my Molly story.
Or semi-natural, depending from the sound of it.
she was a mess, but God bless her. She could move with those legs. And so there you go. It's hope for you and your three-legged spirit animal. And that does lead me to my question, Dave, today, which is the glass half full? Or is it glass half empty? Are we going to see this in a positive light? Like this last month of UAP, dare I say, shenanigans that are going on out there. What's your takeaway, man? I can sort of see both sides a little bit, but
I think I'm a bit Pollyanna-ish on this. Okay. Yeah, I think I remain more of an optimist. I'm getting the impression we haven't revealed our hands yet to each other. But I think I'm probably a little more of a Pollyanna on this month than you are. But I'll let you start.
Well, I mean,
which subject should we look at first?
Let's get NASA out of the way. Because there's a little bit more to chew on with the Mexico General Assembly, however we want to characterize. We got, look, in the good news camp, there are UAP hearings all over the place. They're falling off the shelves, these UAP hearings. There's NASA's having them, Congress is having them, Mexico's having them. And yet they came back with this, like, the most just fucking...
A nothing report.
Boring ass. What was the point of all that? We're going to apply some AI to this data.
I think what they came back with is a job application.
Yeah.
I mean, I read the whole thing through and everything about it. Nothing about any data they've looked at. Nothing but any of the stories they've researched. They put up a bunch of stuff that is explained. Why are you showing us pictures of the Northern Lights? What has that got to do with UAP? But it's all just saying, here's a place where NASA could be very useful. And this is another place where we can use NASA's, the trust with the public can be exploited here. And this is another reason why NASA should be involved. And so it seems like a funding application.
Yeah. Was that what it was? Was it just like, hey guys, pay attention to NASA again. We want to enjoy this blip that UFO are having. And like, we have nothing to add to this conversation whatsoever, or that we will not share with you the actual stuff we know. But
if you give us some funding, we'll develop new sensor technology.
Yeah.
And we'll recalibrate the stuff we have. If you give us more money.
Look, they did.
And I'm not.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because I'm not one of those people who says, the whole UFO thing is just the Pentagon trying to get more money. But this the NASA thing reads like a funding proposal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't read like anything to do with UAP. It's all just, here's the thing NASA could do if you want us to do it. And here's another thing.
But weren't you inspired by their words, like that there is no proof that there's anything extraterrestrial in origin to these objects, though it might be? I mean, doesn't that solve the mystery for you?
Well, it's nice that Bill Nelson actually said, we don't know what these things are. He said that. But the fact that right before saying we don't know what these things are, he says that we have found no evidence that UAP are extraterrestrial. And the thing is that, and that may be true, if, depending on how you define evidence, But the converse is also true. And no one asks him this. Well, actually, James Fox kind of a little bit asked him, but no one just said, have you found any evidence of a terrestrial origin for any for these UAP? Because the answer to that question is going to be no. Because we know that all of the terrestrial explanations have been ruled out. We know it's not a foreign adversary. We know it's not a dark project, you know. That leaves
something.
But that, yeah.
It's a stupid. To me, it's like so silly. Also, because it's like, what's going to constitute proof for you guys? Like, I mean,
yeah,
there was no extraterrestrial. Like, no shit, Sherlock. Of course, like it's we're all trying to conclude. Now, I also read they didn't have access to anything classified, so it was just sort of what.
Well, they have access to it, but they were excluding it from the study.
Yeah, because.
I mean, they have classified stuff, but they chose to only deal with unclassified material.
That was to me like it was not even anticlimactic. It was there wasn't a start or a finish. It was just a dud. And then Bill Nelson, this senator who seems so concerned about this issue, has actually been kind of in the past sort of vocal and somewhat supportive and all this acted like he had just heard about Grush on the nightly news, which
yes,
I mean, is there nightly news anymore? That's one of my big questions. Okay.
But I believe you have to, I think you legally have to be 70 years old to watch it.
I mean,
I'm getting there.
It's day, but
the
nightly news reports on David Grush, I'm not even sure they did any nightly news on David Grush, but that's his level of curiosity about what's going on in the sphere.
I would say the only thing that I was positive about, I don't know if I can find it, but was the section where they talked about reporting mechanisms and creating like aerial traffic management, you know, and that NASA could be leveraged to create a proper civilian reporting system for UAP. So that was encouraging. There was something practical saying, you know, that NASA could be involved with coordinating, you know, FAA and, you know, what do they call it? ATM? What is it? No. I forget what they call it. Something, not ATM.
That's a cash machine, which I'm sure there's some sort of metaphor we can make there.
But basically air traffic management or air, you know, management of, you know, of the skies. So that NASA could help coordinate, set up a proper reporting system that would record metadata and collate, you know, multiple witnesses and that sort of thing. So that there was a practical concern and, you know, addressing a real world problem that exists.
Yeah.
That not only is there no real coordinated mechanism for people, civilians to report UFOs or UAPs or anything else in the sky. There's been a concerted effort to avoid there being a system to make it impossible.
Yeah.
So if NASA lent their credentials and their respectability to a reporting mechanism, that would be useful.
They also, and I agree with you. I mean, I think that what we seem to have at the bare minimum now a whole battery of agencies trying to put together data collecting stuff.
Things like Galileo project. Or
somebody will, I suppose, have to comb through all of this data and AI and all of this to kind of find the diamonds in the rough, the needles in the haystack, or whatever we want to say. But at least there will be plenty of data.
And that's one of the roles that NASA has suggested for themselves as being the clearinghouse for the data and using artificial intelligence to sift through it and see, you know, find patterns.
But don't you feel a certain level of cynicism, even if there is data being collected, given this kind of limp response? Do you wonder, like, okay, aren't we just replaying fucking Blue Book? I mean, we've spoken to the scion of you know, Hynek and J. Allen Hynek, and I just we know they do this, and they just they create these programs, and to just fucking lie to people,
and they're using the exact same excuse that is, because I'm actually just reading J. Allen Hynek's first book, The UFO Experience.
Okay,
and all three through that, he keeps complaining that Project Blue Book, they would just say not enough data. Mm-hmm. And that would be the end of the discussion, which is exactly what, you know, like what Kirkpatrick has done with the sphere, and, you know, that he showed the video for, just saying not enough data. And mm-hmm. And so we're done. Mm-hmm. And that's, and he said, like, the bulk of this, of the investigations that should have been the first stage of an investigation in Blue Book, kind of goes on and on about this over and over again in the book. There would just be, they would just label it unexplained or not enough data. And that's how it would sit. Like, there would never be not enough data. Let's get some more of that data.
Yeah. Let's,
you know,
yeah,
and examine and it. And Hynek would be arguing. Yeah. And Hynek would be arguing, well, we know there's some physical evidence out there. Why don't we get out there and get to the bottom of it? And they'd say, no, we're good.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Listen, I do want to say, as sarcastically as possible, that they, you should mm-hmm. be reassured, because they did announce a new director. Or their
he's not program. Not a secret anymore.
Oh, did they finally release the name? Because it was anonymous.
They put the name up. They announced that they were going to do it, and then someone asked, "Well, can you tell us the name?" No.
Yeah, no. They for harassment purposes. They wanted to. They everybody's getting harassed on the on the group, which I don't think anybody should get, you know, harassed or overly bullied.
No. On either side, yeah. Like in the pro or the con, like the UFO community should not be harassing them for being clearly ignorant of the entire issue, even though that's
you put it that way. Yeah,
you know,
I know
they should. Yeah, they shouldn't be harassed for, you know if the people on this panel, because I'm sure there's tons of people at NASA that are more knowledgeable and up to date on things, but clearly the people who were selected for this panel were the people who knew the least possible about UFOs.
Yeah, and I think what you're seeing is, because nobody should be threatened, because somebody they're claiming like they're and I'm sure it's true that somebody was threatening and doing all that kind of shit, because it feels like this is a moment where there's a lot of attention on the issue, and it's bringing out the fucking wackadoodles, and it's also bringing out the naysaying, you know,
academia
stinker, self-interested,
and they're being harassed by the academic world, by academia. They're being harassed, and they're constantly being told to get off of this. Don't touch this subject. You'll ruin your career. You'll have no credibility. Mm. You know,
well, that's hard. You know, no one wants to hear that.
No. And it's true. Cause I mean, as you said, we look at like just last week, the New York Times did that smear piece on Avi Loeb. Mm-hmm. Where they somehow managed to depict a guy who is incredibly accomplished as having never done anything mm-hmm. except be really paranoid and bitter.
Yeah.
And a mama's boy.
For having like 190 some odd record breaking, like papers, published.
Yeah. But there was that one time he said he should have been given more credit on something, and the people said he shouldn't.
Yeah. That's true. And there is that one guy in Arizona who hates him, who was quoted like 60 times in the piece. Like, and another thing, you know, like, so I don't like bitter, this. I don't like this. I don't like that. Oh, wait, what we got here? What
do we got here?
Throwing out graphics. What's
got here? Oh, this is.
Oh, Mark.
That's the NASA. What's this? The NASA report.
McElmurney? Is that his name?
Huh? I see. That's the new director of UAP research. Yes, Mark.
He's come out of the shadows. Clearly, they need to find a new person like with an easier to spell name.
I know we're doing a bit from my movie, The Wrong Guy.
trying to pronounce Mark McInerney.
Well, this is just another way to throw up dust and obscure the truth by putting an unpronounceable name.
Yeah, anonymous was easier than this shit.
Yes.
He is the new director of UAP. Oh, there it went. UAP research.
For NASA.
For NASA. That's and congratulations, Mark.
Yes.
That's great. Good luck on your data collecting.
Mm-hmm.
May you. Nice.
Yes, it's a promotion. Hopefully, he's not a guy that his job was airbrushing, you know, flying saucers out of old footage.
Yeah, totally. I'm sure he can bitch in the cafeteria with Kirkpatrick about how mean they're being treated.
Yes. Yeah.
It is a funny job to take, I guess. I mean, I mean, an exciting job, presumably, but in this context, it just seems to be so little interest in the actual issue they claim to be interested in.
Yeah, and just the issue they seem interested in is tamping down interest. The NASA, Arrow, they both just seem to be like, thinking how, like, let's be as much like Blue Book as possible. Like, let's go through everything Blue Book did to make everyone furious, and repeat it.
Yeah.
You know, and that seems to be exactly what's going on. I mean, again, why lead with, it's the same thing. Like when you lead with, 95% can be explained. All right, then why bother to bring it up?
Mm-hmm.
Don't bring up the stuff you've explained. They are by definition not UAP.
Mm-hmm.
So, true. Like in this report, why do they put up pictures? And for some reason, they do a very blurry blow up of the orb that the sphere that Kirkpatrick released. Like as when the, you know, there's actually a pretty clear video.
Mm-hmm.
Of it. But why put up the Northern Lights? Why put up, all these images of things that have nothing to do with it? You know, it's like spiral clouds and, you know, there's no reason for any of it.
Because the American public are idiots, apparently. And, you know, and that their job is to kind of tap you on the head, you know, put your hand out the window during a hurricane and say it's drizzling and whatever. They could have just focused on the 5% they can't explain and really just dig into those and try to,
which is the only part that's interesting. Or they could show you pictures of a nice sunset. Why is that in the report? The picture of, you know, it's like, oh, I knew it all along. UFOs are just nice sunsets.
I will say there was an interesting fact outside of the NASA hearing that I hadn't realized. Because there was, there's been a couple earthquakes, and then there's been a couple of reports of UAP around earthquakes. There was a big earthquake in Turkey, a huge one in Morocco recently, and lots of damage and just terrible what happened there. And there was some reporting of lights and kind of UAPs just preceding the earthquake, and apparently it is a widespread phenomenon that lights do appear. Prior to earthquakes, and they're documented and photographed, but apparently it's the friction of the plates sort of creating some electromagnetic activity, essentially sort of lightning that that does actually create that phenomenon. I thought that was just sort of a cool scientific
the
pressure, all this sort of energy, and then when it's moving, it's almost like, I guess, like flint, you know, like flint on a rock, and it's going to send out this kind of, you know, wave of light. And I guess you do see a ton of that. I don't know if this is the same principle, but you do see a ton of that around volcanic eruptions. You see, you know, crazy, hellish lightning going on around there. So,
well, there's even like the fires in Canada produce lightning.
Oh, really?
Just
against the atmosphere type of thing?
Yeah, intensifiers. Yeah, I forget what it's called. I read it. But yeah, the clouds of smoke can actually generate lightning.
That's cool.
which will then cause further fires.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah,
that's,
you know,
that's
the lightning, and also tornadoes that basically create fire tornadoes. So that's been going on in Canada.
They're so strong. I mean, they create their own kind of mini atmosphere that then has to compete with, I don't know anything about atmospheric science. So
yes.
I'm going to stop right there before I,
embarrass myself. They definitely deplete the environment of oxygen, and so that becomes fuel. And it's, as I said, then somehow I didn't realize that clouds of smoke can actually generate lightning.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're not aware there are certain phenomena out there of lights.
Oh, things yes, happen there's in tons
the
world. Of things.
There's balloons. Now they are. One of these things, like the other day, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, they're coming up with like drones that are look exactly and behave exactly like jellyfish. I'm like, we're really, we'll never know. I mean, we're never going to be able to tell anything up there. How will we know anything is anything when they've got these drones that look like spiked balls now? They've got, they do have a real kind of visual variety of things that are going up in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah, but they, it's like the other thing, but there was an article in, God, which newspaper said, does this new drone technology explain UAP? And it's that, you know, they can, apparently they can make sudden maneuvers, right and left maneuvers. And then, but the fact is they apparently could only fly at about 12 feet high.
Yeah, that would
they could only travel at a few miles an hour. And they could only stay in the air for about 15 minutes.
Ah, okay.
Well, but could this explain the Tic Tac? Is the headline. Okay. And it's, well, no, no, it couldn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's the fact that, you know, that still that most of the media are so eager to just cling on to any ridiculous excuse to not cover the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they go, oh, there's a drone that does nothing. That's, say that's the Tic Tac.
Right. Yeah. No, and there's nothing in this, what I would characterize as not a great month for the UAP topic. There is nothing that would convince me that there isn't just to me, it's not a like, are they or isn't, aren't they, is there or isn't there? I mean, the crazy volume of, if you bother to look for a minute into this over the course of 70, 80 years, there's absolutely zero question that there's a phenomenon in the skies, in the water, and it's being seen. This is more just the, I feel like the blowback of this new cycle of interest that is kind of bringing out the goon squad. Like everybody wants their, like the grifters come out, they want to make some money. The, you know, the debunkers or whoever, the people that want to come out and say, this is shit, this is nothing going on. And it just really is successful at throwing sand up in the air and creating a ton of distraction.
I know people like Stephen Greer claiming that he's already been contracted to run a strike force to retrieve.
And doesn't he, you know, and he's like got seminars you got to spend all this money on to talk to the aliens and shit like this. And it's just I think that's just the, you know, that's the, that's as much of an enemy of this whole topic as the, you know, cranky congressperson like Mike Turner of Ohio, who's brought up prominently on Weaponized this week by Jeremy and George Knapp, who's, so Mike Turner was on Maria Bartiromo.
Yes.
And he was just saying these fucking whistleblowers don't know, you know, they can't, they come forward. They've always talked to somebody and they don't know anything. And isn't that interesting? So he's, he was just come out fist flying, and he's apparently a real, enemy of the legislation being pushed in the Senate by Chuck Schumer trying to,
and he's the one who has blocked giving a select subcommittee subpoena power to look at UAP.
Let's be clear. Mike Turner is the representative from Ohio, a Republican, and he is chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And also, who do you think pays this guy's bills when he's running for Congress, Dave?
Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is in the middle of his district.
Yeah. So what do we know about Wright-Patterson Air Force Base?
It is where whatever was crashed in Roswell, whatever you want to believe crashed in Roswell, I believe it was a UFO, was transported under extreme secrecy and security to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
So the note I get from the studio when I write my UFO screenplay and I have the, like, you know, the crooked congressman who's like getting his funds from the same place where they have the UFO, the note is like, can we not, like, is that like too on the nose? Can we maybe, can you just sort of, can you zhuzh that a little bit so that, you know, it feels a little bit more credible or believable? But no, in fact, the guy that's holding up all of the UFO legislation, Mike Turner from Ohio, whose number, by the way, is 202-225-6465. If you want to complain and have your voice be heard, 202-225-6465. I'm sure Chrissy's on it right now.
Put that
now,
on the screen like and the
three-dimensional
numbers
when we post flying,
this.
Flying around. We'll put that up on the, yeah, yeah, really. But yeah,
and he's also, I guess he was leaning on Comer to stop any more investigations because, in his words, it's going to embarrass DOD.
What does that have to do with anything?
It's going to embarrass them.
Who?
It's going to be the DOD? Department of Defense will be embarrassed if we show that they've been committing heinous felonies for 80 years.
Listen, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
There's nothing more embarrassing than having
destroying careers for, you know, and
maybe committing murders.
Just saying, that's embarrassing. Yep. I would be embarrassed.
And lying and being, you know, lying to the public for 80 years.
So is that really his case to make?
That's what he said. Yeah, he said this will be. I think it's Comer he leaned on when Burchett was trying to get the go ahead for a subcommittee to have no more hearings because it's going to be embarrassing for DOD.
Here is a question I have for I'm going to let it out of the bag, Dave. I'm all excited. Right. We have a guest coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm pretty excited about the George Knapp is.
Oh,
be
I like him.
Really,
I like
with
him a lot.
Tom,
yeah,
and Dave, legendary goat. You might call him the goat of UAP investigation. George Knapp. We will be in Las Vegas with the man himself, squeezing out as many podcasts as we can from this man, because he is a wealth of information and knowledge and history on this issue. George Knapp was the Las Vegas news anchor who was contacted and then broke the Bob Lazar story, which is enduring in its mystery and wonder and astonishment and controversy and all of that.
Yes, and just even previous to Bob Lazar, he had his like now famous interviews with John Lear. I think it was John Lear that sort of dragged George in to this world, and then Bob Lazar, I guess, just shut the door behind George, said, "You're in now."
He's a wealth of stories. So, I'm dying to hear what George has to say about all this, because my question was, and this was what got me on that tangent. It's like Dave Grush goes to Congress. He says, I've got the addresses. I've got the phone numbers. Talk to me after the thing. We'll do the now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now, you might have an answer to this. Maybe because he couldn't tell them except in a skiff. I suppose that is why everybody didn't jump in their cars with Dave and be like, okay, like drive us to the, you've got the, which garage, which storage space is the ship being held in? Why don't we have somebody, even an assistant in Burchett's office just, you know, going to the various storage locker? I don't know. What? Nobody's looking for this fucking, nobody's looking for this stuff.
Or, well, we'll see. I don't know. It's, because I know you didn't like it, but I thought the Jesse Mitchells, I can't remember.
Yeah, looked like Mickles.
Yeah, but the his site, which is called Something Alchemy. What's it called?
I think it's called Something Alchemy.
Yeah, but it's a great site, and he does great interviews.
He did a very thorough job. I wasn't poo-pooing what this was he announced this interview that had apparently been prepared for a year or so. He actually was with Grush the day of the testimony. He knew him through a friend from the Air Force. They kind of met, and David gave him all this access, it seems. And then he did this sort of both interview / kind of
sort of a primer on UFO history
some conspiracy theories too were creeping in there, and he does a good job, seems like a very smart guy. I had an issue with just the optics. It seemed just like a peculiar forum for his next follow-up, and I just thought from a kind of PR perspective, my kind of I put on my cheesy marketing hat to just go like, well, I mean, we're like walking shorts in the woods. I don't know. It just seemed like an ad for Adirondack backpacks or something. Like, I didn't know what we were getting. The content was pretty good.
I even liked I liked that casualness of it. I liked the fact that you were getting a sense of just who this person is. So you're getting, you know, because there's been so much done to try and shape the perception of him, and this, he just, you know, it just, you got a real sense of who he is as a person, that he's not a UFO guy. He's not, you know, that he's learned about this through the course of his job.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's curious and is an intelligent, curious, scientifically minded person. And we also got a little more information out of it. Not a ton, but like at least one thing was that he made it very clear that a number of the people that he had talked to have already been deposed by Congress.
They've been already questioned.
They're already in the process of giving testimony.
Yeah, there seems to be widespread rumblings that a firsthand witness whistleblower is in the pipeline. That there is somebody who is now going to say, I've worked on the shit, I've seen the shit, this is something we can ask George Knapp about, see what he's heard. And look, I would say Grush did come across kind of as like a bro. Like, you sort of get it. Like, he was kind of accessible. He's very, very knowledgeable, acutely knowledgeable of these various programs and plans and laws and rules. And he has obviously studied them hard, and probably because he doesn't want to go to jail if he says the wrong thing and needs to know, have his T's crossed and I's dotted. To me, like I said, it was an initial sort of optics thing. Like, is this the best way, the most serious presentation of this material, given its magnitude and scope and stakes, and because people will, even sympathetic people like myself, will throw stones at the slightest thing.
It just struck me very differently. And that, to me, I liked the humanity of it, that he seemed like a really good guy, like a guy you'd want to spend a day wandering around in the woods with.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And it did. Ultimately, when I watched, I was like, oh, well, that wasn't as bad. It got a little Kennedy alien stuff. I don't know. It started to me diverge, this fellow.
Yeah.
Jesse. What's his name?
Yes. Oh, the Jesse. I think it's Mickles. Okay. I don't know.
Heavy on his own theories. It was sort of a dual interview almost. And that was in some of those places, I was like, oh boy.
Yes. Well, definitely the notion that there was a Kennedy UAP inquiry a week before. Yeah, that thing that Kennedy tried to get some information about UFOs the week before he was assassinated. Right. It was definitely the one thing. I think that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was the thing about Oppenheimer and the Manhattan, but I found that quite believable. Actually,
the Trinity crash that Jacques Vallée I forget the name of his co-author on that, Italian researcher, Trinity, the best kept secret, book that Jacques Vallée just put out.
Okay.
I mean, that is related to the first nuclear bomb tests. It happened about 20 days after the first bomb was dropped.
Okay.
Was that, you know, that just out on the, you know, in the Trinity test site, there was a UFO crash.
Mm-hmm.
And that apparently from the first time they started testing them, there were multiple, you know, this, I guess there's records of multiple strange lights and objects all around the test sites.
Yeah. We're at the Mexico General Assembly UAP big to do. Let's set the stage. Yeah. We had a star-studded lineup of credible folks. At least on the masthead, there was going to be Avi Loeb. We know Ryan Graves was there. There was a lot of testimony by some of the most credible folks in this saga.
I believe James Fox also testified as well.
James Fox was there. And then with great circumstance and pomp and excitement and surprise, this fellow...
Jaime Maussan.
Yes, a journalist from Mexico with a somewhat spotty record on the UAP issue, shows up with coffins. He opens the coffins and presents three bodies that he says are 1,000-year-old mummies from Peru, taken from mines that are not any species on Earth. And he presented them as scientifically proven to be to have 30% of their DNA that it connects to nothing on Earth. And he made this like grand sort of thing. Twitter exploded. My brain exploded. It was like last week or something, or maybe a little earlier than that. And oh my God, they brought out bodies. There's bodies, bodies, bodies. Everybody's talking about bodies. And with about within about 10 minutes or less, there was this just cascade of yelling and shouting, and it's a hoax, and this guy's a nutcase, and he's a huckster and a grifter. And Ryan Graves came out to say, I'm ashamed. The next day, I didn't want to be a part of this. I'm out of here. Nick Pope, who is the worked with the Defense Department in the UK, called BS on this. And a lot of people were saying, you know, that this was a hoax. What is your what is your take on this? Because there have been a couple developments on this front.
Yeah. Well, one thing, a little context is that Jaime Maussan is a huge star in Mexico.
Okay.
Like he's at a TV show that's been on for decades. In Mexico, very popular on about UFOs, and he's been reporting UFOs, showing UFO videos.
There's our little guy. Chris has the graphic up, and I will point out that creature does appear to have the head of my infant son. That is what my son looked like for about 5 to 6 months before he got cute.
So yeah,
the body was not. He was much fatter than that.
Yeah, not the pronounced hips.
He didn't have the bony hips. He did have the large head and the sort of like boxer eye, like somebody did. Then he became a wonderfully handsome fellow. That's the only thing I can say personally about this creature. But sorry, I interrupted you. So he's a big star in Mexico.
So he is a big star. That's why he was kind of like the star witness on the panel up there. I didn't watch. I've only seen a few clips from it because most of it was in Mexican, so I couldn't even figure it out.
That's unacceptable.
Because I'm from Canada.
Yeah, you guys speak French.
I mean, there's a whole country in between us and Mexico.
Yeah, they should have helped you with that.
Yeah, but so he is quite a celebrity, but then he kind of use that celebrity and that notoriety and all that to hype up the Atacama alien body that he had. Was that what it was called? Right.
That sounds right. Cause it's different from these guys, which are the, they're the Nazca mummies.
Yeah, the Nazca, but that was the one that he got Gary Nolan involved with.
We talked to Gary
from
about this.
Stanford. Yeah. And he got Gary Nolan to analyze it, and Gary Nolan did, and came up with the result that it was a human child who had sadly suffered from multiple deformities, and probably died from those. But then Jaime Masson still
caught a lot of shit for that.
Yeah, yeah, and Jaime Masson still kept claiming that it was alien, and they had this huge arena event where he announced that it was, where, you know, he showed the images and claimed it was alien, and clearly Gary Nolan had told him no, it's not. So which also has made Gary Nolan very cautious about entering into that area again. So I don't think he's going to do an analysis of these bodies.
He doesn't want to get yelled at again for telling them that's not what they want to hear. Now, I will say, well, first of all, George Knapp, who will be coming to a Really with Tom and Dave episode near you. And always like and subscribe us, by the way. Just remember, we have a new YouTube channel at Really with Tom and Dave. We also are still on the Stampede Podcast Network. I just want to make sure we keep that coming through. You can see our podcast for the next couple of weeks on both the Stampede Podcast Network and at Really with Tom and Dave. But then we will move our whole operation over to at Really with Tom and Dave on YouTube.
And we're still on, of course, Instagram at Really_podcast_. Is that it?
Jesus, Chrissy, can you help him with that? Because I can't.
Yeah, I think that's our.
But anyway, George Knapp said essentially about Jaime was that, you know, he was doing good journalism, good work on this issue. Then he said he got sort of the UFO, people get the UFO disease, and they need to sort of keep content coming out, and they just get more susceptible and susceptible and susceptible. And that was sort of what he had said. And I think he said in relation to these bodies as presented, which was more or less like, subject them to test, peer review, if you're really convinced. Here we go.
Oh, there's our, oh, there, really, yeah. Okay, Really_podcast, really official. Okay.
There you go. That's our Instagram.
It's not officy. It goes to official. If you, oh, there it is, down at the bottom. Okay. Okay. We got it.
Go, Chrissy.
Yep.
Go, Chrissy. Go. And so, anyway.
But that's the thing. Yeah. It's like they look weird, but again, I'm at this place where I can't dismiss it out of hand, because just because something seems weird and crazy, and it comes from a weird and crazy source, and he's not totally weird. Like what George said is true. He had been doing really good, high profile work on the UFO issue for decades. And it said it had audience of millions of people would tune in to watch his show every week.
It was sort of the unsolved mysteries of Mexico, right?
Yeah. And it's been, you know, and it's as I said, he's a huge, you know, star. There's a documentary about his show that I can't remember the name of. I was going to try to look it up, but it's on, you can watch it on Amazon. There's a documentary about Jaime. So if somebody will do the testing, I haven't read any of the analysis of those bodies.
Well, what I was going to say is there was kind of an update as of this recording, which was, it was in the UK Telegraph, which, you know, is what it is. Not entirely the National Enquirer, I would say. Mm-hmm. But a gentleman named Jose de Jesus Zalce Benitez, who is the director of Health Sciences Research Institute of the Secretary of the Navy for Mexico, did spectrometry, they did x-rays, they did a series of tests, which were, that Jaime was kind of overseeing and a part of to sort of prove his case. According to this scientist who has his military credentials and seems to have kind of government credentials, he said that the test proved that this was not, as reported, a stitched together carcass. This was not something that was just made, sewn together. He said this was a complete skeleton, which I found interesting. I don't know, you know, I don't know the credibility of this person and of these tests, well, but that is an interesting.
That would be significant because in terms of things like the three-fingered hand, I believe, right?
And, yeah, they say, yeah. You know, if this is an actual body of something, that would be intriguing.
Yeah, and that's what I say. If people will do the analysis, obviously there's been some analysis according to that.
Yeah.
That's pretty deep. That's a pretty important bit of data.
I mean, he said that this is not, I think all of it should be subjected to peer review. I think all of it should be looked at.
Yeah.
By independent parties.
Well, it's also the fact that they have metal breastplates as part of them. There's this sort of piece of metal in the chest.
Oh.
But that is made up of, in part, I forget what, osminium or something like that. Basically, they said it's like the rarest mineral on Earth.
Is it like adamantium that is in Wolverine's skeleton in X-Men?
I don't know. Okay. But it's definitely, if we can,
well, they call them,
look that up. But,
they call them reptilian, and one of them, they said, was female and had eggs in her body.
Yeah. Because weren't there the two little ones and then there was one larger one? Was that,
I feel
confused?
Like one of them was named Clara, who I think might have the eggs named
the
in
two,
her body.
Yes. Yeah, they said they found, so essentially, yeah.
Now, Jaime's also in trouble with Peru, because on top of...
They're saying he stole
them,
yeah.
On top of all the people yelling at him that these are not real, Peru is yelling that this is sort of cultural misappropriation. These are pre-Hispanic objects from Peru. And why have you stolen our mummies?
Yes.
So we have a little bit of that going on.
So he has to defend himself there as well.
Yes. So there are definitely some issues around this. I was going to broadly lambaste this as a terrible setback. And now they've got some of these scientific tests, which kind of have created a little bit of a room for interest and questions.
Yeah. But that's the other thing. I was just thinking, if it's a hoax, it would seem weird to try to make these plates from the rarest mineral on Earth. That seems like a long way to go in a hoax.
If it's a hoax, they're still digging hard. I mean, that's if you want, you know. I mean, I would say they got all these doctors together. There's the Daily Mail. Mummified alien corpses are from single skeletons, were not assembled. Mexican doctor claims as he examines eggs in one of the non-human bodies during new lab tests. Jesus, merciful.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Well, that seems to lend a little weight to it, you know, or at least that we should keep an open mind until we get, you know, studies published.
Yeah, they're crazy looking guys. You know, I will say, if you are interested. If you are interested in archaeological bodies, mysteries from the past, have I recommended this Netflix documentary to you? Cave of Bones.
Oh, Cave of Bones. I started to watch that the other night, and then I got sleepy.
Well, start again.
I want to watch it again. Yes.
Start again because it is fucking amazing.
Another family member of the Homo.
Well, it's like an entirely it is in the Homo realm, but what they discover and the reason it's great is because it continues to build and build and build. I won't utterly spoil it for people listening but I highly recommend, if you have any interest in archaeology, there is a cave in South Africa where they discovered in an impossible location inside this cave, a wealth of bodies that were skeletons that were 250,000 years old. So we're talking, you might luck out if you get a jaw or a tooth or one femur or a finger. These were full bodies, multiple bodies of this species that was around 250,000 years ago. But then subsequently, what they began to realize, what this cave was, what this cave meant to these beings, what they were. Now, they had brains that were just slightly larger than chimpanzees. And the description of them is amazing. I mean, they have sort of teeth like ours, features like ours, but also features that were very primate-like. They could obviously climb really well, but mostly they were wanderers. But their it all has to do with how they treated their dead, which completely
they did ceremonial
flips.
Burials.
It just flips the narrative that the way we treated our dead in spirituality went with the growth of our brains. And instead, we starting with these relatively small-brained species that it changes it crashes the train. It's so fascinating and surprisingly emotional, this documentary. It's really good. So I'm throwing that out there as that if you like your Nazca mummies, this is kind of a, let's say, a more established science story that I think has just as much kind of wonder and fantasy to it.
And there was a species of human that coexisted with Homo sapiens.
Yes.
For quite some time, yes. I think, right?
Yeah. And the way they viewed the world and at a time where you would only assume like the most kind of meager survivalism or sort of animal that it was, this turns all on its ear. And so that was kind of fascinating about it. These bodies remain sort of like a cool big question mark. But you know, interesting and I think worth tracking that story. And I'll categorize your view as a sort of glass half full month for the phenomenon.
Very much so. I will hold off judgment on the mummies.
Okay.
And you know, my initial reaction is just going, oh
yeah,
you know,
yeah, me
not
too.
Again.
I know.
But you know, if they turn out to be something, maybe not alien, but maybe something that we didn't know about, you know, again, this here's a whole species that mainstream science is finding of humanoids.
Tom's new maybe screenplay.
Maybe they're,
you know, when the strike's over, I'll get my little alien pitch going.
Maybe there was, maybe these little mummies are something else, you know, that coexisted.
That'd be cool. That'd be super, super cool. And we got to ask our guest coming soon, George Knapp, the man himself. We'll be talking to him in Las Vegas. So that will be important for everybody to kind of stay tuned for and pay attention to. And again, please, if you can, if you're near a phone, nicely and politely harass the office of Mike Turner, Representative Mike Turner, Republican of Ohio. His number is 202-225-6465. We'll put that on the on our Instagram, our channel, all our various things.
Yeah, whatever things we have.
The things we have, because he is trying to block the UAP legislation on a bit
written
of
by Chuck Schumer.
Written by Chuck Schumer, the majority leader of the Senate, which is, you were telling me, Dave, was it you? This is a huge disclosure moment or potential moment. I mean, if this doesn't
in the Schumer thing,
well,
the Schumer thing, well, it is so, as I said, much like the earlier Gillibrand legislation, it is like bespoke, tailor-made legislation for the things that the community, the UFO community, has been talking about forever, and also clearly for the issues that are brought up by Grush's testimony. You know, even down to things like it was brought up in that interview with Jesse Mitchells with Grush. You know, just the fact that so much of that the atomic, you know, what used to be the Atomic Energy Commission or something that later, you know, became the Department of Energy, has a Freedom of Information Act exemption. They have the Atomic Energy Exemption. And that, so even in his legislation, he specifically is written in there to claw out things from the DOE, the Department of Energy, that are not subject to Freedom of Information Act requests. So he's included that. And again, the fact that he had, 25 references to non-human intelligence.
Yeah, it's an astonishing piece of writing for this august body to be talking about, you know, eminent domain over, you know, non-terrestrial craft and
third party researchers.
This is and it has to be made clear to everybody, this is not law yet. This is a proposal. This is going to be submitted, and they're going to debate it, and it might go down And if it does, it could set us back generationally of whether or not this ever comes up again. So,
yeah. And for people that just can't sort of accept any kind of incremental progress, they got to, you know, realize that it really is important that the idea of setting up a committee, they're talking about a 9-person committee that would have the power to hear the case for continued classification of material, but that the premise is everything about UAP is to be considered declassified automatically. And this committee will hear arguments from DOD or CIA or whoever's going to present it, Air Force, for maintaining classification of the material. So everything is automatically declassified unless an argument can be made that the 9-person independent committee agrees to. And then they report directly to the president, whoever the president is at the time. So there's no deniability anymore mm-hmm. for the presidents, and and there's no keeping the presidents out of the loop anymore.
Right.
So it's really could be a huge change.
With the whistleblower law, which did pass and is now bearing fruit, David Grush is the first to kind of bravely come forward, but now there appears to be a pipeline of
there are multiple people who have already done their paperwork
that have their paperwork filed. And are going to come forward. So that is going to be happening. And then Schumer's legislation is as groundbreaking as it sounds. It's absolutely without precedent.
Yeah.
And would really, and you're right. Like, I joke about, why don't they get in the car and go look in the fucking garages? Well, no, they have to do it this way. They have to do it in a formalized fashion. And so please call your congressperson, call your senator, your rep, make your voice heard. If you're interested in this topic, if you're interested in disclosure, this is really a moment to be heard and to try to silence the people like Mike Turner, the Ohio rep, who is the chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, who gets most of his funding from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which figures significantly into the mythology of UAP.
Yes, the Roswell materials, also the home of Project Blue Book.
Yeah,
was Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Reject this bad screenplay villain and get them to pass this legislation, because no one would believe this particular plot line, but it is true. The guy who is gets all of his campaign commercials paid for by the very place that's keeping all the secrets. Yeah. It's, you know,
Hangar 18 is in his district.
Okay, it's holding back and wants to end this a lot of this UAP
yes.
disclosure legislation. So that's
because it's embarrassing.
We don't want to embarrass the DOD, not yeah. that because they did bad things in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of stuff going on. I think this was good. I think we nailed this one.
Yeah.
You know, I.
All right. Carry on with your lives.
With the assurance that you have been fully podcasted and you can take all this valuable information, you know, into your week and then sound very astute and learned on the UAP events that have been going on. You know, and you can make your own glass half full, glass half empty. It's going to be like that sometimes. It's not all David Grush 24/7. Sometimes you get Bill Nelson and the NASA boring folks to tell you that maybe it's extraterrestrial in origin, but no proof, but maybe. So that was really fulfilling.
Yes. Yes. It's we have no evidence, but we don't know what it is. So then why did you say that?
Why are we doing this?
Why infer you know something definite and then immediately say we have no idea what we're talking about?
Yeah, why set up that table on the stage behind in front of the curtain if you didn't have anything to say of value?
Yes. And you know why they say it? Because that's the thing they want to be the headline of every story.
Mm-hmm.
Is no evidence of extraterrestrials is what they want to be the headline in every newspaper in the world. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, they're good at this. They've got a lot of practice. They've got 70 years of practice and precedent and blue books and whatever. So, yeah, it's good they're having hearings. It's good it's out there. It's good the government is being forced to discuss it and talk about it. And you see the same old playbook being played.
Yeah. Well, it's the old, what's, as George Knapp said, who again will be on our podcast very soon.
Good.
He said the closer you get to the goodies, the more they will fight back.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
and that's, you know,
truer words. Let's get him to say that himself. That'll be cool. And then we'll get it on a t-shirt.
But in that George Knapp voice.
Oh, it's going to be great. So in person, George Knapp coming up on Really with Tom and Dave. And remember, again, subscribe. Our new YouTube channel is at Really with Tom and Dave. We are still going to be on the Stampede Podcast Network for the next couple of weeks. And then we'll be transitioning fully over to our YouTube channel. And
so follow us over there, or else we'll look like idiots.
I know. We'll be like, why did we do this in the first place? Got to come over and bring your friends and bring all your UAP curious friends and all that stuff.
There'll be dip.
There will be good dip and chips, and Dave will say fun stuff. So, all right, man. Well, look forward to next week, and then looking forward to our big trip. And it's always a pleasure.
Yes, it's nice to see you.
Great to see you too. Say hi to Alina. We enjoy the show tonight.
I will. Yes. And, if you're in,
I want to hear this.
Well, this will be over by the time this comes in. But
fair enough. But yeah, we'll see.
I would say go down to see. I think the show sold out tonight anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. We're not necessarily going live yet, but
no.
All right, man. Good stuff.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.